From slow plan to fast plan. In one of my classes, a young woman asked, "What is the first step?" I explained that in 1989, 2 years after the market crashed and a recession set in, Kim and I were working on our plan. We had agreed that we would buy 2 pieces of real estate a year for 10 years. As the market crashed, we found more and more deals as more and more people panicked. In less than a year, we had purchased 5 small rental properties, each with a positive cash flow. I estimate that we had looked at over 600 properties just to find those 5 small houses that made investment sense. But now the market was getting worse, and more deals were appearing. The problem was, we were out of money. I realized that we were at the limits of our context, our reality. "So it was time to change your reality?" asked another student. "Yes," I said. "It was time to change or miss a window of opportunity." The first thing I did was admit to myself that I was being a tortoise who wanted to quit. And it was not time to quit. It was time to push on. Keeping the lessons from those fairy tales in mind, I continued instead of giving up. One day after Kim and I had just come back from a trip, the phone rang. The call was from my favorite real estate broker. "I just found the deal of the day," he said. "If you're interested in it, I'll give you a half-hour head start before I tell another one of my clients." He told me it was a 12-unit apartment house that was in a great area, and it was only $335,000, $35,000 down, and the seller was anxious to sell. The broker then faxed me the sales data on the property with a rough pro forma on income and expenses. I told the broker to give me half an hour, and I would drive out immediately to look at it. When I got there, I realized why it was such a great deal, so I dashed to a payphone and told the broker I would take it. Even though we had no money, I offered the sellers what they were asking, which was $35,000 down, and they would carry the $300,000 at 8% interest for 5 years. It was such a great deal that I could not pass it up. My only problem now was to find the $35,000 in 30 days, which is when the couple wanted to move out. "So how did you afford it?" asked the student. "Or did you afford it?" Finally, after sweating, praying, and doing our best not to quit, we took our paperwork to our bank and presented our story to the bank manager. After he turned us down, I asked him why he turned us down, and what could I have done better. Then I went to the next bank, with the first banker's improvements incorporated into our pitch, and was again turned down. Each time our presentation was clearer and much more professional. We could now explain in banker's words why it was such a great investment. The sixth banker said, yes. He had the $35,000 check for us in 2 days, and with 3 days to spare, we went to the escrow office and bought the 12-unit apartment house. "What happened after that?" asked the student. "The real estate market continued to slide, and even though we still had very little money, we kept buying. By 1994, the market turned up, and we were financially free for the rest of our lives. That 12-unit apartment building sold for over $500,000 in 1994, and had put over $1,100 a month in our pocket during that period. The $165,000 in capital gains were rolled tax-deferred into a 30-unit apartment house, which is one of the apartment houses we still have today. That 30-unit apartment house began putting a little bit more than $5,000 a month in our pocket each month. With the other properties and investment we had, we were earning over $10,000 a month in passive income, which put us at the affluent level, and we retired. We had about $10,000 in passive income and about $3,000 in monthly expenses. We were financially free." "So it was not luck," said another student. "It was your plan that got accelerated." "We were prepared for the window of opportunity, and we took it," I said. Soon after 1994, the prices of real estate skyrocketed, and it became a little harder to find such bargains and willing sellers. The reason I tell you this story is to explain to you the importance of being willing to expand your context as well as add to your content. So today, affording a $335,000 property is easy for you because you increased your reality and your education. Is that what you are saying?" asked a student. "Very easy," I replied. "The important thing for Kim and me was the willingness to go beyond our context and our content." "Have you become an ugly duckling again?" asked a student a little cynically. "Sure," I said. "After the $335,000 apartment house, we found it easy to invest up to the $2.5 million level. From 1994 to 2001, we did well in the range of up to $2.5 million, and our passive income increased to about $16,000 a month without much effort. Simultaneously, in 1996, I knew it was time for me to learn how to take a company public, through the IPO process. Also in 1996, Kim and I met Sharon Lecter, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad was published. Sharon, Kim, and I founded Cashflow Technologies, Inc. in the fall of 1997. We were entering a new world with a new context, content, and friends. Our real estate investing context remained at $2.5 million in investments." "So you moved to expand your context in other areas, is that what you're saying?" asked a student. That is exactly what I'm saying. With Sharon as a co-author and partner in the business, our little company grew far beyond our wildest dreams. Without Sharon, we would not be as successful as we are today. After working for 5 years with another investor, we have 4 to 6 companies going public through the IPO process in the next few years. Both in business and in the IPO process, our reality on what is possible has expanded considerably. Our context as to business in the IPO process has taken quantum leaps.